Hi, my name is Anita Foster. I'm the Library Media Specialist from Autry Middle School in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Hey y'all, I'm Ingrid Hansen. I'm the Library Media Specialist at Lindley Sixth Grade Academy in Mapleton, Georgia.
Hey everyone, I'm Lori Quintana and I'm the Library Media Specialist at Griffin Middle School in Smyrna, Georgia.
And welcome to Everdue, Conversations from the Library. Guys, we have an awesome podcast for you today. We're each going to share something that's happening at our schools and our favorite book that we're reading or our great book that we're reading or have just read. So take it away, Lori, because I know you've got something exciting that just happened today at Griffin.
Okay, awesome. Actually, a lot happened at Griffin today. I started out at 7:30 this morning, and I just finished at school, and I'm sitting down counting out my till from my book fair. And so we just finished our literacy night, and this is the second annual family literacy night, actually, that we hosted at our school. And it was made possible by a grant that I received from American Association of School Librarians, and it's called the Inspire Grant. And I want to throw a big thank you out there to our national organization for providing the grant to us. This wouldn't have been possible without it. It paid for our special guest author, which was Laurel Snyder. So I'm super excited about that. She's so awesome. And also it paid for the food for our guests and also our literacy baskets to raffle off to our guests that participated tonight. So it was very exciting, and I don't know how much detail you want me to go in.
So what when you have your literacy night, Lori, what does the parents do? What do the students do? Okay. What events are you got going on in the different places?
Okay, so we create a program agenda, and it starts out with the guest author in our theater at 5:30 in the afternoon, and the guest author speaks from 5:30 to 6:30. And then I move them up to the book fair in the library where they can do their author signings. And so our guests can bring books for the author to sign. Or I have students who participated in Fireside Fiction during the last week, I believe, in the library. And they also got free books from the grant. And so they were able to get her autographs as well. During that entire time, I also have the book fair open. And my book fair is in October every year around Halloween. And so it's a haunted book fair. And so that's open for our families to purchase from as well. And then at 6:30 is when all of our literacy sessions start. And so we have teachers here working the family literacy night in every content area, math, social studies, science, ELA, and reading. And they provide content literacy tips and information that relates to literacy and how it ties in with the Georgia standards, because a lot of our parents don't understand that literacy is in all subject areas, not just ELA. And so we really kind of give parents that support so that we can bridge that literacy between home and school. And so we have our teachers and our students working on literacy during the school day, but we need our parents supporting us at home when the kids get at home, but we have to give them the tools to be able to do that. And then we also have, we use Reading Plus at our school, a software program. And so the vendor comes in and does demonstrations, and parents can actually get on Reading Plus and see what their kids are doing to increase their reading comprehension. And then we also give out literacy awards that are based on the reading inventory. And so we give awards to the top five Lexile scores in each grade level, plus an award to the highest Lexile level in the school. And we provide them pizza, and it's a fun night. And then we raffled off three huge literacy baskets tonight with books and bookmarks and stationery and all kinds of reading, writing, speaking, thinking things in the baskets. And then I also raffled off autographed books from Matt Laney, who was here during the school day, who is another author. They signed their books. My Jasper June was one that was signed by Laurel Snyder, and then Pride Wars by Matt Laney. So it was a big day today at Griffin, guys.
It sounds incredible.
And I really couldn't do it without my team of teachers and my principals. Guys, my principal and all of my APs were here tonight. All of them. My entire admin team was here to support this.
That is wonderful, Lori.
Like seriously, I'm so geeked about this right now. So yes, it's amazing. It's amazing. So yeah, but thank you. So thank you for letting me share that. And it's a passion of mine. As you guys know, I love promoting reading it from the library. And so I always look for ways to be a leader in the school. And I had to figure out what does that look like? And I thought, okay, let's put this family literacy night together and lead from the library, like we always talk about. So yes.
Okay, so Lori, this is where I'm going to speak up and say something. It's going to be a little bit more work for you.
Okay.
But you need to write all this up and put it on our website so that other people can have access to just give them ideas of what they can do.
Sure. You mean with like the program or something?
A literacy night. Yes. To have something so that they can maybe take it and take what you did at your school and tweak it to work at their school.
Of course. I would absolutely love to do that. Absolutely.
Okay.
I will do that.
So
keep reminding me, Anita, because like I need to put stuff in the OneNote.
We gotcha.
Let me tell you, my schedule's been crazy since the beginning of the school year, but I kind of see a little bit of a light coming up. So I'll be able to have time to do that for you.
Yeah, you have a little bit of a light coming up because you finish your specialist degree in May. Mine goes until July, so I don't have much of a light. I'm still in the dark tunnel hoping the light's not a train.
Yes, ma'am. I just scheduled my last two classes. Woohoo!
Yay for you, not for me. Okay, so Ingrid, you want to share what's going on over at your school?
Well, we're not doing anything as large and as big as what you are doing at Griffin, Lori, but I am super excited to talk about our first annual Literacy Day that we're doing at Lindley Sixth Grade Academy. So November 7th, we are just taking time to dedicate ourselves and our students to the importance of literacy. It's going to start with a fabulous Dr. McGee reading a book on our student news broadcast. We're going to add up all the minutes that our students read throughout the day. We've invited parents and our community to come in and either read a book out loud to a class or to join us in silent reading. So I'm very excited that while it's certainly so much smaller than what you're doing, Lori, that we're taking a step in the right direction and that we're really taking the time to focus our students and our community and our teachers and our staff on the importance of literacy. So I'm super proud about that.
So listen, Ingrid.
That is awesome, Ingrid.
Ingrid, it's not about the size. It's that you're making an impact in the way, any way that you can for your students. It's not about the glitz and the glamour and everything like that. This is something I've worked on for a couple of years now. And so you start out, like you said, with a beginning point, and then you grow it, right? And
exactly.
So your kids are going to be absolutely enthralled with that. Absolutely.
Well, and my fabulous principal and administration has agreed that if we meet the set goal for the number of minutes read, that we'll reward our students the following day. So it's just all good things. And as you point out, it's a starting point. It's a place to begin. And when we haven't done anything like that in the past,
yes.
I'm super excited and proud to be part of a team that is bringing that attention to literacy within our space. So I'm excited about that.
Look, it's called moving and shaking.
Well, I'm shaking a lot.
I'm sorry. I'm super excited for you. I am super excited for you. And I mean, like, just like, for this to spread across Cobb County in our schools for our kids, like that is just fabulous to me. It excites me.
Me too. At the end of the day, I clearly we don't do this for the fame and the fortune. We do this because we're committed and dedicated to our students and to furthering literacy in our space and to making a better environment and creating a better learning environment for everybody, our students, our staff, our teachers. I mean, that's what we do all day. So I am always excited when I take a small step forward, which,
of course,
on that same note, the other thing that has now become a weekly issue, which has been in the past, is that we are a PBIS school, which has been working so well. I am so proud of all of us. at how well we are positively moving forward in student behavior and consequences with PBIS. It's just been amazing to watch. And one of the things that my sweet students can do is use their PBIS points to purchase lunch in the media center with Love me it. One day a week. And I have to tell you, it's been fabulous. And all of a sudden my struggle is, and I posted this on social media, that I'm eating three lunches every Friday with, you know, 10 kids, and I have to cut off at 10. Listen, y'all, you didn't buy it soon enough. You'll have to try next week. Like, I just can't eat lunch with 30 of you, more than 30 of you every Friday. I just can't. So right. I'm super excited that they come in and we get to talk about books and what have you read and what have you liked. And we just get to interact and hang out and Ingrid. Absorb the culture of reading. I'm so thrilled about it.
Ingrid, it's so amazing. Like, think about this for a second. So the same thing happened to me last week, and so I started the lunch in the library thing, and so they come in and sign in on an iPad, and I send out the list of teachers so they know which students have permission to come in for their lunches, right? Let me tell you, my pair the other day emailed me when I wasn't in, and she's like, Lori, there's like 60 kids in here with their lunches. What am I supposed to do?
Exactly.
So I had to come up with the sign up for them so we could keep it under control. And I was like, because the library is going to become the cafeteria.
Right?
Exactly.
But I love that. For a second. Yes. Lori, I love that.
They want to be in our library.
Yes. That they just want to be in our space. They want to be in our space and be with us and talk about literacy and books and be in that culture of reading. Mm-hmm. It just makes it's me amazing. So happy.
It's amazing.
Okay. So I have to ask you, Ingrid, how many PBIS points are they using to buy lunch with you?
It is 60 PBIS points to have lunch. And I will go on the record as saying that it's 70 PBIS points to have a dress down day. So all of my sweet babies just had to save 10 more points and they could wear jeans. And instead, they're choosing to use those points to come in and talk with me about books and literacy and hang out. I'm speechless at how much that overwhelms me.
That is awesome.
That's actually quite a few points. And so if they're willing to spend that 60 PBIS points, girl, that's amazing to be in the library. I'm sorry. Our students only had to have, I believe it was this past one, they had to have 75 points just to go to our cool cat parties. And so, so I mean, like, that's amazing that they're willing to give up 60 PBIS points.
Yeah, the only thing I sell for PBIS points is a PBIS point for every page over two you want to print.
Well, you know what, though? That's still a good way to use your points. I'm just saying.
So, I may be doing this with some of my kiddos soon. But I don't know that I would do 60. I would probably do like 25 or 30, I think.
But girl, I got to tell you, listen to what Lori and I are saying, Anita, that my threshold is 60, and I had to go down to one day.
And you still have to cut people out. I mean, like, you have to turn people down.
I had to cap it at 10 kids every Friday per lunch period, because otherwise they were like, it's okay, we'll just come in and read quietly while you teach. Oh, baby, I love you so much, but that's not an option. I'm not trying to teach a class and worry that, you know, you got your lunch and you left the space on time. Like, I can't do that. So I would tell you, Anita, that putting it at 30, this is going to be your life. Like, you need to look at that objectively.
Right. Well, honestly, let me get through GAETC, Georgia Educators Technology Conference,
which
next
we're
week,
presenting at, y'all.
Which
y'all
we're presenting at on Wednesday.
Isn't that crazy? This coming up so quickly.
Like, and tomorrow. Let me get past, like, tomorrow. It's crazy.
Let me get past my son's senior night in band, which is next Friday, and then I can start thinking about some other things.
I know.
We're going to have a house full of company next week.
And Anita, I got to tell you, I've just been so impressed with everything you've been posting on social media about Spencer and all of his accomplishments, and you have to be so proud. I know
amazing
that
mom.
Is
I am.
Personal
amazing mom.
And not professional, but you know, at the end of the day, we're human beings and our lives overlap from personal to professional, and all of the amazing things that you are doing with your son, I know that you share with your kids as well. So Congrats to you for such a successful child.
Absolutely.
He's my baby, and he has decided he wants to go to college to be, Lord help us, a history teacher in middle school. His goal is to come to back to my school.
Oh my gosh, Anita, I love that. I love that and so much.
And Mr. Crawford is loving it. And that's actually awesome. Spencer had to go past my school today to, like, is a half an hour away from his school, but he had to go past my school today to pick something up, his trombone that he had dropped off at to get it repaired. And after he picked it up, he just showed up at my school, and it was right at dismissal. And he was like going around and telling all of his old teachers hi and everything. It was real, real cute and everything. And because they're like, they knew him in middle school. So, yeah. Okay. So off of personal stuff, because that's not what this podcast
is
about.
Yeah,
but it's part
of our character, and it's what makes us real to people. So
no, I'm Laurie, very... you're completely right. Like, we, as media specialists, many of us are media specialists, but we're friends, and we're daughters, and we're mothers, and we're wives, and we do so many different
okay,
roles.
Okay, just a second. No, wait. I'm not a wife, so any single men out there that's in my age range, let me just go on and put it out there. Friends in Cobb County, you know somebody that I might be. Yeah, you can hook me up. Okay, that's my last personal thing. Other than, I am very proud of my son, and I don't often tell him as much as I probably should, but I am very proud of him. And his senior night for a marching band is next week. So, yeah, we're trying to get the house ready for company that's coming in from out of town.
Well, and I can say, from somebody who has met Spencer and chatted with him, he is an amazing young man, and you've done a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So what's going on at Autry is, I am about to begin, like, again, after next week, because I'll be hectic crazy next week. But I'm about to begin our reading groups for reluctant readers. And we have probably about half the group that I would like to have. So what I'm doing is, I'm digging into the data. And
I love that. Sorry, just throwing it out there. I love so much that we are turning the way we are looking at how we impact our students. So anyway, I'm sorry, go on.
I'm looking at SRI scores, but I'm also looking at milestone tests from last year, because this summer when I was going through my data course, my awesome principal, Mr. Crawford, sent me the data from the milestones, because it had just come in. And so that's what I use for my course. Well, I have that data, and I'm going to dig in a little bit deeper and target students who are not getting support from small group or reading classes or anything like that, that are just at or just below their Lexile score where they should be. So I'm gonna work on that and have the group hopefully together before Thanksgiving, and we can start reading our book and stuff. So that's the literacy thing that's happening at Autry, but I have something even bigger happening at Autry. For those of you that don't know, I don't imagine how you could not know if you've listened to our previous podcast. Our parapros are 60%. And I have been a huge advocate since they were cut. I think it was like 6 years ago that they were cut. I've been a huge advocate to try and get them reinstated to 100%. And last year, or it was the year before that we started talking about it, I went to my principal and I said, look, if the county is not going to pay for our parapros to be 100%, I need to stop just begging for her to be 100%, and I need to be proactive and do something about it. And he's like, I'm listening. And so we have a craft fair every December for just to raise funds for my parapro. Last year we raised enough to add one day a week for her in the spring.
That's amazing.
And so, yes, but I missed her in the fall when I ran out of that money. So what we're doing is, right now I'm looking for vendors, because that is how we make money for my parapro to be there. It's a one-day event. It's the first Saturday in December. This is our second year doing it. Vendor space is $50 for the day. We're open from 9 until 4. And I need vendors. So if you know somebody who crafts, send them to me. If you know somebody who goes and does craft fairs and they make products, like the reason I started doing this, to be completely honest, is I make jewelry and I go to craft fairs and sell my jewelry. And I said, hey, this is a perfect match. Why not use the craft fair to make money for Brenda? So that's what they do. I have a booth at this craft fair, and I have a partner who she sells while I run the craft fair. So if you know of somebody who is a crafter who would like to sell their product, or if you craft on the side, but you've never even thought of doing a craft fair, but you're like, hey, that might be fun, and hey, I might can make some extra money for Christmas, then go to AutreyVikings.com, and on the main page, there's a little red poinsettia, like flower icon, and underneath that is the link for vendors. It costs $50, like I said, $50 for the one-day event, and you're really not out that much money. You're helping a good cause, because that $50 goes directly into an account to pay for my ParaPro to work extra days. Nobody gets a cut out of it. My principal, he doesn't get a cut out of it or anything. It goes 100% towards paying for my ParaPro. And it's just a great event. Last year we had 30 vendors and we had 6 clubs. Now here's my caveat. I want this to be a win-win for everyone. So we had 6 different clubs who do not pay anything for vendor fees, so that they can make money for their club. So we had the drama club was wrapping gifts. They had wrapping paper and stuff. And I think they were doing it by donation. I can't remember. We had our farmhouse club, because we have chickens and rabbits and turtles and all kinds of stuff. They were doing something. And I think this year we might even have our art club doing something. We had one of our ParaPros makes the world's best fudge. No lie, world's best fudge. And she was selling it by donation. And what she did was she split the money between Robotics Club, which her son had been involved in for years, and Helen Ruffin, which she is one of our coaches, split that money in half to pay for our t-shirts. So not only are you supporting local vendors, you're supporting the Library Media Program, but it's just a great event. And we're trying again this year to have more acts on stage and have things happening on stage in the theater all day long. So like you might come in and there might be a group from the band playing, or the step team performing, or drama club performing, or some soloist singing. So it's a really cool event, and it's on December the 7th.
I was just going to say, Anita, that sounds amazing, but I'm not crafting at all. Well, I am, but I don't have time to craft. What I want to know is how I can support you and your school and funding for your para as a member of your community and as a library media specialist. So what does it cost to get in? What are your hours? What's the location? Where do I park? Talk to me about how I can participate by showing up.
Excellent. So it costs nothing to get in, absolutely nothing at all. And we want people to come on that day on December the 7th. It's from 9 until 4. Yes, towards the end of the day, we're running up against the SEC championship game that starts, I think, at 3:30, but that's okay. And you can participate by donations. We do a raffle. So every vendor there provides one item that is in value of at least $25. And we have them all out on a table, and every half an hour we raffle several items off, and are not items, we raffle several things off. And if your ticket's called, then you get to go pick something from the table.
Anita, do I have to be there to collect my prize? What if I leave early and you call my number and I'm not there?
So here's the cool thing. We raffle every half hour. So you're going to be there for a half an hour. So okay, you buy your good. Raffle tickets and you shop, and every half an hour we announce what's going on the stage and the three or four people that won a raffle or that half hour. So you, when you buy your ticket, you put it in the hour or half hour bucket that you want it to be done in.
So if I, want to take my 83-year-old mom to your craft fair, because that's totally up her alley and she would love this, and I show up and I am supporting your vendors because they have things that my mom is interested in and wants to buy, but ultimately, truly the best way for me to support you and your group outside of just shopping your craft fair is to enter the raffle. Is that a true statement?
That is a true statement. And you can also buy from our vendors so that they come back next year and do it again, because we want this to grow and we want more vendors. We don't want a vendor going, yeah, people came, but they didn't really shop. Last year, they did not say that. They were like, this was really good. We normally don't. I had a couple of vendors that said, I did this because I know you, Anita, and I knew the money was going to a good cause, and it was only $50. But let me just tell you, I normally do not do good in schools. I did very good here. I mean, one of our vendors, almost sold out of everything.
That's great.
So, yeah.
And I love that type of support from our community and our shareholders. That's so amazing.
So it is on December the 7th from 9 until 4 at Autry Middle School, which is located directly behind North Cobb. When you think that you've gone far enough, keep going. It's right behind the baseball field. And it's at 3601 Nolan Road in Kennesaw, Georgia. And if you would like to be a vendor, whether you live in Cobb or you live in one of our surrounding counties, or you live somewhere else and you want to just come and do it, by all means, please go to the application that is on the school's website, autryvikings.com. And send that to us, the email address that we use. I believe it's like autrycraftfair@gmail.com, but it's on the form. Or if you are in county, you just want to send it to my county email, you can. But we had a really nice turnout last year, great turnout last year, and we're hoping for another one this year. This year, we might have a couple of food vendors as well.
Oh, so, that was my question.
Yeah, last year, Mr. Crawford was in charge of the food, and he sold Chick-fil-A sandwiches and pizza slices and things like that. And he donated all of that money to we call it the Brenda Fund, because my paraphrase name is Brenda. He donated all of that money to the Brenda Fund. So that was extra that I wasn't even expecting. I thought he was going to do that for the general fund for the school. And he's at the end of the day, he surprised me and he's like, no, it's all going in Brenda's fund.
So I want to know if you, Anita, are selling your pickles that I just keep hearing about year after year.
No, because I don't have time to make them.
Well, I'm just saying,
but I do make them every year at around that time, because that's Mr. Crawford always likes them. And last year was not going to be there for the Thanksgiving feast. I was going to be off campus that day. And that's been my tradition every year to put pickles out, the homemade pickles for the Thanksgiving feast. And I told him like a couple of days before, yeah, I'm not going to be here for that day. And he looked at me and he went, good thing you have a refrigerator in the library. You can bring your pickles in a day early. And they'll put them out on the table for you.
Yes.
All reasons why you should sell them so we can buy them.
The recipe is so easy. It's half sour pickles, and you can find many recipes on Pinterest. So,
well, I just want to say, I mean, I've just been sitting here listening. And so, yeah, my question was, is there food?
And yes, there is going to be food.
And then I don't know what the heck I would sell, because I'm crafty, but my time is so limited.
Oh, my God, Lori. Exactly.
But I will bring money.
And right?
You know what I really love, and I'm just going to throw this out there, because in case there's somebody who does this, I will buy from you, is I love the wooden signs with quotes on them with the really cool calligraphy. I know a lot of people do that and then cut it out with their Crickets or their sew-up machines. I love those really cool sayings and quotes on like the woods or framed or however you do it. I love that.
Well, I do too, but I also like the hand painted ones.
Yeah, those are those. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, like I'm not particular how you do it. I just like them.
Yeah.
And then if you make it about literacy, shut the front door. I'm just all over that.
Yeah. So yeah, we have a large turnout, and then like
and quilting. If you have quilts, does anybody bring? Oh,
we're
quilts?
Gonna have. I have a couple of quilters coming, and then the other thing too. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're the burlap door hangings that are puffy with the big bows.
I do.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so I because of me doing craft fairs, I met a lady who does those, and they're incredible. And I sent her. I've sent her a couple of things and said, hey, can you turn this into a door hanging? And she did. So like we have one on our front door right now that is Spencer's High School logo because it's marching band season. So I have that out. And she did one for my the front door of the CLC that is an overdue, but it's like one of those stamp cards that you return date cards. And it says readers or leaders on it. It is the cutest thing. She'll custom make things like that. She's incredible. So I need to check with her, make sure she's coming back this year. She's the one that told me last year, we normally don't do good at schools and they just about sold out and they come down from Dalton.
Okay.
So yeah, incredible artists that we have coming.
Well, so, I mean, I want to participate in that or at least go and shop. That will be me.
Shopping. Right?
Exactly. So we asked for our vendors to park around behind the school so at the back so that there's plenty of parking for people to come in and shop. And like I said, it's a one day event. A lot of schools have gone to doing craft fairs for 2 days. I'm sorry. I'm getting old and I'm tired. So it's a one day event. It will always be a one day event as long as I'm in charge of it because I like one day events. So they can set up before on Saturday morning or they can set up Friday night. And then they have all day Saturday that they're set up. And we even have some students that'll come and help them unload their cars and take it to their spots and everything. So we have it down pretty good.
So I love everything that we're doing in our spaces to support literacy, to support full-time paras, to look at increasing not only SRI scores and overall love of reading, but literacy within our spaces. And I'm just so impressed with both of you. As always, you always cause me to stop and pause and think about how I can elevate my game to give my kids the same opportunities that you all are supplying your kids with. So,
okay, Ingrid.
That's amazing. Ingrid. Thank you both.
Ingrid, you are hanging with us. You are hanging with us.
Well, okay. And honestly, thank you so much. But I just want to put out there that I'm just always so impressed with the things that are happening in our spaces and the things that are happening in the media centers in Cobb County. Yes. And how we as
across Georgia, across the U.S.
And how we are continuing to reaffirm the importance and the impact of what we do as professionals. And
let me say this too, Ingrid. Yes, we are islands in our school. There's no one else like us. I mean, I don't think there are many high schools even that still have two full-time library media specialists. So we are islands. Here's the thing. We've got to get in with other librarians and create your own professional learning network. Whether it's people that you follow on Twitter.
I feel like that's us.
I know.
Exactly. Well, honestly,
I agree. But here's what I want to say. Last night, I was watching my son do his thing on the stage. He had a speaking part and everything. And I looked down at my phone, and I have 90, I'm not kidding, 90 text messages, a conversation that was going between the two of you, problem solving and figuring things out. And everybody, every librarian should have that is what I'm saying.
I agree.
So if
and what a difference it makes when you do.
Huge difference.
Learn from each other. We talk through issues that we have, because trust me, I mean, yes, we have a podcast, but we also have issues. And so we talk through those issues and we We work things out together. So if you feel like you're an island among yourself and there's no one like you around, there is. And there's probably somebody like you that's going through the same problems you're having. And you need to grab hold of someone, I mean, a life raft or something to help you and get you through those moments. Because I'm telling you, I've had moments in the past that these two ladies have helped me through. And I'm sure that they've had problems in the past that I've helped them through. So if you don't have a professional learning network, get with somebody in your district or somebody else and just, you know, say,
Well, we're setting up a text group together.
Yes.
And know that you feel alone, that there are other people that feel alone too. And sometimes it just takes being that person to put out the olive branch and be like, hey, what are you doing? What are you going to do after the PL? Do you want to get together for lunch? Do you want to chat? Like, it doesn't have to be a huge gesture, but
no,
at the end of the day, you have to make the effort because you're not the only one that feels alone. And certainly we all met in an environment where we were at the Teacher Leader Academy. But even as we were there as teacher leaders, and we still, the three of us, felt isolated and not connected with our peers to the level that we wanted to, even as we were acknowledging that we were trying to better our craft. And it's important to realize that even when you're doing the absolute best you can, and you are dotting your I's and crossing your T's, you can still feel alone, and other people are right there. You just have to reach out.
Well, listen, Anita and Ingrid, on all of that. So I agree with all of that. I just want to say, you guys, that, like, aside from, like, helping each other through issues and stuff like that, or supporting each other in our libraries, giving each other ideas and all of that, amazing, amazing stuff. But I have to tell you guys, when you two are the last two people I talk to in my day at the end of the day in our conversations and everything, I go to bed with a smile on my face. Aww. I really do. And my husband looks at me like, when I get to laughing with you guys, like, oh my gosh, what are you guys doing? But it's that girlfriend thing. Like, we're girlfriends, you know what I mean?
You're right, Lori.
And
no,
so
it is.
Find your girlfriends, your LMS girlfriends out there. And be
our LMS guy friends. We're not,
yes,
you know.
That's right. Right.
Guy
I'm
librarian,
sorry.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Find your tribe. Find your tribe.
Yes. And so I just want to, I just go back to thinking about our FaceTime where we were laughing so hard.
Oh my
and so just find your people.
Yes.
So,
And again, I've said this before, if something ever happens to me and I die, somebody needs to make the decision. Does our text feed, does it get published or does it get deleted? Because it could go either way.
Well,
okay, so real quick.
Ingrid, that's not what I'm thinking about in that situation. What I'm thinking about in that situation is which one of us is going to steal Jeff.
Right? Like, I'll fight you for that. And I love, y'all know how much I love Nadine. I'm just saying.
No, I know. Same here. I'm just playing with Anita because I know how much she loves him.
Yeah. So, one more thing I want to talk about today. I am reading an incredible book. It's actually a 4-book series, but I'm on the first book. I'm almost done with it. Okay. Complete honesty. Remember, I'm in my car a lot. So it's an audiobook. But it has been incredible. And I will tell you, I got it through Sora, through Cobb, public libraries. Don't try and check the other books out because I checked all 4 of them out at the same time when I thought it was a series.
Oh, thank you for that, Anita. We appreciate that.
Yeah, well, this is called, I had the name of it, and it's Dorothy Must Die.
Girl, I've seen that. Oh,
it is by Danielle Page.
It's in my library. I haven't read it, but it's in my library.
It's by Danielle Page. It's young adult.
I was going to say, like, where does it fall in the young adult spectrum? Yes. Because I have been eyeballing that series.
So here's the deal. It is so far, I've got like 3 hours left in the first book. And it's like 14 hours long, I think. The F word's been dropped a couple of times. But that's about, I mean, in the very beginning, one of the girls in her school's pregnant, a teen pregnancy, but it's not, you know, like descriptive type stuff.
Is one of you taking a bubble bath? I hear water dripping.
But in the book, Dorothy Must Die, it is a twist on Oz.
Yes.
And okay, yes, Dorothy went away, but then she came back and she's doing evil things and she's wanting to steal all of the magic in Oz. And so this is like so cool. So this girl, Amy, she is from Kansas, and a tornado picks up her trailer that her and her mom live in and takes her to Oz, and she must save Oz. So it's been really good. So that's what I'm reading right now. What are you guys reading?
It's a series.
So it's by Danielle Page.
Yep.
And the first book is called Dorothy Must Die.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
All right. So I am not that creative. I am totally a new book addict. So I got Look Both Ways by Jason Reynolds, who, can we all just take a moment and appreciate Jason Reynolds? I'm just saying.
I am with you right there, girl.
Yep.
Let's just all worship him from afar. He's amazing. So anyway, I am reading Look Both Ways. Excuse me. While I'm listening to it, I shouldn't say that I'm reading it. But what I will say is so amazing is it's literally 10 completely short stories within a larger portfolio. So I can engage with this one meaningful short story, and when I come back to pick it up, it's all new characters doing something different. And the premise is it's all about what happens after the school bell rings and children leave school and head back to their own houses. And as always, excuse me, as always, he's just so on spot and just talking about all the right things. The last chapter I finished was about a group of kids who all have shaved their heads in solidarity for their parents who are undergoing cancer treatments. And it's just, wow. I just can't. It's so amazing. If y'all haven't read it, you need to go out and buy it, read it, book talk it, hype it. It is Jason Reynolds at his finest. I couldn't be more impressed.
Awesome. All right, Lori, what are you reading?
Too many things.
Besides 90 text messages.
Yes, I know, right? So, and just an FYI, Jason Reynolds' book was in the, I was so surprised when I opened up one of the boxes and saw that book in at the book fair.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it was there. So, well, I mean, I've been trying to like do a lot of reading here in the past couple of weeks to prepare for tonight. And so, I just want to throw a shout out to Laurel Schneider, who is a local Georgia author and our guest author tonight. And so her most recent book is My Jasper June. And, you know, we were talking about friendship and stuff earlier and how important it is to find those friends and everything. And so this book really is about that. And this girl who, you know, she has a best friend. And by the way, it takes place in Atlanta, which is really cool, too.
Oh, I love that, Lori.
Yes. And so, you know, she has a best friend who she's had since the elementary school. And a lot of us have been in that situation. And they went to summer school together, not summer school, summer camp together for all of the years that they were friends through elementary. And so this one year, she is not getting to go to camp, but her best friend is going. And so her best friend also has met these other girls and become friends with those girls. And so she's feeling left out. And, you know, everybody's been in that situation where your best friend finds a different best friend kind of thing.
Right.
And so, you know, and her parents have become distant from her. And so she's got all this time on her hand during the summer. But then she finds this other girl. Her name is Jasper. And, you know, like it says here, I'm looking at the book right now. Then she meets Jasper, a girl unlike anyone she has ever known. There's something mysterious about Jasper, almost magical. And so Jasper is actually one of the girls like that you would never think you would be friends with, but then you do befriend that person and they're different, but then it grows on you and you're like, oh, I like different. I like friends who are different. Maybe I don't want to go mainstream all, you know, and be friends with the most popular person, or, you know, you explore and you find these great friends. Anyway, it's a really good book about friendship and becoming friends with somebody you never imagined that you'd become friends with, and you guys creating that own place in the world with each other. And so anyway, I highly recommend that book as well, My Jasper June, and it just came out this summer. And then of course I read Pride Wars, Spinner Prince last year, because Matt Laney was here last year, and that's the first book in his series. And then his Pride Wars, The Four Guardians, just came out this year as well. And if you love fantasy, it's great books. The characters are like a combination of human and cats. I've never been a fantasy person, but I read it because I wanted to read it before Matt, you know, came to the school and stuff. And I love it. I absolutely love them.
So, Lori, here's my question to you. I just read the first book in the series, and much like you, I like fantasy, but I tend to be a sci-fi girl at heart.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that would be me.
But I really, really enjoyed the book, and I'm wondering, obviously the first book left you waiting for the second book in the series. Is this going to be something that is going to be an extended series? Is he only expecting to do 3 or 4, like, did he communicate that with you at all as far as the longevity of this series?
He did. He did communicate that today, and he does have the third book written, but he said that it wouldn't publish for another 18 months because of publishing, the way things are in publishing. And so there's 3 books in the series.
So it's not going to be like Warriors that goes on and on.
I don't think that's his plan at all. But yeah, there was a big cliffhanger at the end of the first book. So, you're like, what?
Okay. Right. You're fully expecting a second book for sure.
So I have extra copies of his second book, and I'm going to put one in the mail for you tomorrow, Ingrid, so you can get started. You won't have to wait.
Hello.
It's amazing. Well, did you read the first book?
I have the first book. I started the first book. Matt, you're an awesome author. I just have problems with characters who are animals.
and that's my thing. Fantasy. It really
it's
is.
Elite.
I'm like,
it's elite.
My intention is to read the book over Thanksgiving break, maybe, when I have a little bit more time.
Okay.
But I have the book and I've read the first couple chapters.
Okay. Well, give it a chance, Anita, for sure. As it goes on, there's a lot of emotion in it. I mean, like,
you become attached. And you become vested in what is happening to those characters. I know, again, and that's not my genre. I was not powering through it at the end. I was reading aggressively, wanting to find out what was happening next.
And so one of the things I'll say about the books, there are several characters in each book. But he gives you the list of the names of each character and you can go back and reference it as you're reading the story. And I even have had to do that. There's also a map in the book so that you can go back and look at that to see exactly where they are at each point in the story and stuff.
Which is helpful.
So, yes, very helpful. But you get attached to those characters, and one minute you dislike the enemy, and the next minute you love them, and the next minute you're crying because, you know, it's there.
A lot of emotion for sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what I've been reading. I think because I did that, I might go back to an adult book. I've got several of them that I've started and haven't finished. One of my books. So anyway.
Yeah.
But I have to read Rebound too, because I read the other ones and I got to get that one done.
Yes.
But anyway, awesome. That's my life in reading right now.
Awesome. So that's all we've got tonight. And we've, gone way over. We were projecting 25 minutes for tonight and we've doubled that.
I feel like that's typical.
Yeah.
So
I feel like we can't ever do anything in 30 minutes. We just get too chatty.
Yeah, we do. Sorry, listeners.
I think we give great information, so I'm happy.
I do too.
Well, yes, we clearly think that what we do is fabulous.
I didn't mean to sound like, you know, really arrogant or anything like that.
Okay, so here's our last little plug is next week, if you listen to this when it's published. So we are going to be presenting at Georgia Educators Technology Conference. It's on Wednesday. Unfortunately, it's at the exact same time as the Georgia Lib Chat.
Oh, that breaks my heart. Because obviously, I want to go to that. Like, I'm trying to figure out how I can be like, and now Anita and Lori are going to talk, and I'm just going to skate out the back door.
Can we just move our people over there and say, I'm sorry, this has been changed to this room over here?
We just want to join you. We're just
going to people who plan this need to think about librarians and how we all want to get together. Yeah. So, but it is at the same time, and we are, our presentation is on podcasting, not only how to do, how to advocate, and how to have student voice, but we're actually going to podcast live towards the end of our presentation.
So if you are listening and you are attending, come participate, come share your voice, share your knowledge, because we're there to record.
And one lucky person will be winning. I have permission to announce it now. One lucky person will be winning $100 from Follette, who will be supporting our presentation.
Can I just say that I'm silently annoyed that we can't participate in that raffle? I want to do that.
Anita and Ingrid, I think I'm busy that day, but I might be able to come to the session.
So, yeah, one of our lucky listeners.
That's amazing. Thank you, Follette.
Yes.
You must be in attendance in our presentation. Somebody is going to be lucky enough to walk out with $100 of Follette cash to spend.
Yes, and you can buy the books we just talked about.
Exactly.
And have them processed for you. All you have to do is stick some labels and some tape on it. It's good to go. Amazing stuff.
And then we also might have a couple of other small things of swag to give out. So come to our session. I don't remember the room, but you'll look it up and everything. So come see us and we look forward to talking to you.
Yes, I can't wait. I can't wait to meet everybody.
Right? And come learn how podcasting is a vehicle for everyone.
And I also want to say, Wendy Cope, thank you for your text and encouragement. We really do appreciate it. And tonight, I don't know if it's doing any difference. We're testing it out. I am using earbuds and a microphone. So the others are in other locations, and I had to drag them out of my son's hands. He did not want to get rid of them, but because he stole them out of my purse, seriously. I'm trying that to see if my sound quality is better. And then we also have an external mic that we're going to plug in and test that the next time we get together to podcast, which would probably be on Wednesday or maybe Tuesday afternoon. We'll get together. So,
listeners, that we hear you and we're paying attention to your feedback and we are trying to get better.
That's right.
And thank you for that feedback. I appreciate it. When I open up our Twitter and see the positive feedback out there, you know, you guys inspire us too, right?
That's right.
Oh my gosh, so much.
All right, guys, we're out. Thank you for listening and sticking with us for almost an hour. We love you. We appreciate you. And come see us at GAETC.
Absolutely. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Just a reminder that everything we say is our own opinions and not the opinions of our school or our district.